feeling behind and overwhelmed, here are the 5 things you should not do. There's a very good chance that you are consumed by an unexamined agenda to stay on top of the multifaceted demands of your personal and professional lives. After all, who doesn't want to stay ahead of the various challenges, responsibilities, and demands of life? Most of us work diligently to be on top of things. In part, this is what we're paid to do, right? Wrong. I'll explain why. First, I want to explain why this intention to stay on top of things tends to create unwanted anxiety in most individuals. Despite our best efforts, most of us experience ourselves as being behind. We spend most of our time week in and week out, month after month, year after year, trying to catch up. Many of us extend our work hours. We check work emails at home. Many of us attend to urgent tasks from our cars, even while we're driving. Many of us sync our to-do lists in the cloud and download productivity apps to our phones and tablets, all in hopes that technology can help us get ahead, or at least stay on top of our many demands. Professionals in virtually every industry strive to have as much uptime as possible each day and every week. All of this is an attempt to dig ourselves out of the hole of responsibilities that we are in many ways buried in and often feeling overwhelmed by. Most of us are suffering stress and anxiety inside of this persistent challenge to catch up. The unexamined agenda to stay on top of your demands 99% of the time leads you right into a cortisol-infused productivity killer. Cortisol, for those of you who are not familiar with this hormone, is your stress hormone. It is released in response to stress, and it suppresses your immune system. It frequently causes weight gain. Some research supports the idea that chronic cortisol causes the brain to shrink in important areas. And cortisol itself stimulates more cortisol to be released in the many stressful work situations you find yourself in every day. Sure, you may become very efficient at responding to urgent demands, and you might get very good at knocking down those long to-do lists. However, most people who become highly efficient doers often become under-effective performers. Getting things done quickly, or what I'm calling being efficient, is not the same thing as being effective. Being an effective performer means you adaptively generate positive motion on the most important actions. Let me repeat that with emphasis. You adaptively generate positive motion on the most important actions. Doing more things faster is rooted in your good but misguided intentions to stay on top of things. As you practice doing more things faster, you may, over time, become more efficient at that, doing more things faster. But you also become less aligned with accomplishing the most strategically important actions. The reason you become less aligned with strategically important actions is because your attention is repeatedly attuned to quantity over quality. Your discernment as to which items are most strategically important goes down. This is why I say that it is wrong to assume that your job is to stay on top of things. It leads to an efficiency mindset which ultimately compromises your strategic effectiveness, which in turn undermines your own happiness and well-being, as well as the most important measures of productivity as it pertains to your job performance. Thomas Davenport and John Beck of the Accenture Institute for Strategic Change suggests that most professionals are working in organizations that lack focus. Organizations that breed the efficiency mindset and its associated onslaught of stress in their employees suffer from what they call organizational ADD, or attention deficit disorder. Here are a few symptoms of organizational ADD. 1. Diminished time for meaningful reflection on anything but simple informational transactions. Those are those short emails, those text messages, and short phone messages that you get. 2. Decision making often is missing key information. 3. Holding colleagues' attention becomes increasingly difficult. Sharing well-thought-out ideas and strategies becomes challenging unless they are couched in short, flashy presentations that capture attention for brief periods of time. Ultimately, this results in organizations and their employees being unable to focus when it matters most. The deeper problem this creates is that the organization cannot be strategically creative, pioneering, or adaptive because it is caught in the cycle after another cycle of reactivity. Good professional development, both organizational development and individual development, always moves out of reactive mindsets and into proactive mindsets. Instead of your work being consumed by reacting and responding to demands, your professional development requires you to become the authoritative source of the demands you want to engage. Instead of being distracted by the everyday movements of your job, you must become a precisely focused instrument of service in your job. By relocating the authority that determines how you use your time and attention from out there, the chaotic demands that flood your inbox, your phone, and so on, to inside of you, your own inner focus and strategic assessment, you become the authority over your own time and attention, which makes you more effective. Making this shift is not something that you can just implement today. At least most of us don't have the luxury to make this kind of adaptive response that quickly. The reason why is because the change we are exploring here does not involve informational learning. It does not come from you merely understanding the technical know-how of becoming more proactive. What's required here is adaptive learning. And adaptive learning is a developmental, transformational kind of learning. It means that we're not merely putting information into the same mind. Instead, we are changing the size, changing the complexity of your mind, which makes it more adaptive. This kind of learning is required if you're going to grow to the next level and succeed there. One of the causes of the need to be on top of everything is that most of us feel smaller than our jobs. Literally, this really is the feeling that your job is bigger than you. Psychologically speaking, when you are smaller than your job and when you're smaller than the culture of your institution, you will strive to get on top of everything, as we've been discussing. But feeling smaller than your job and the demands it presents reflects a developmental stage most adults have yet to free themselves from. When you develop and fully establish yourself at a new order of professional aptitude, you actually start to feel bigger than your job. As a result, you can stabilize proactive, strategic engagement with the most important and significant tasks. With this developmental shift in mind, here are the 5 mistakes you are to avoid. These are practical, tactical, suggestions that you can deploy today, and they're going to help you. Taken together, they provide you with a strategy and scaffolding that can ultimately help you step out of the cycle of constantly trying to catch up. Instead of practicing doing more in less time, these practices will help you shift your attention towards being more effective with what's most important. The more you leverage these kinds of practices to author, self-initiate, and self-direct the complex demands that are of the greatest strategic value to you and your organization, the more valuable you and your work can become. So here's the first one. Do not skip your planning. People trapped in the efficiency mindset often feel as though they don't have time to plan. Committing a half an hour to strategically plan next week isn't an option when you're too consumed by the belief that you need to catch up to last week's demands. Regardless of how strapped and overcommitted you may feel, establish a habit to plan. Before you begin your week, review what's on your plate and sort things according to the most significant, not the most urgent, the most significant actions that you're going to engage. As you go through your week, notice when you feel the temptation to do small, urgent tasks instead of big, important things. Notice it and do not fall prey to it. Self-initiating and self-authoring your professional life begins here. If you skip planning, you increase the risk that you'll experience a developmental fallback into a smaller mindset. This is because the cycle of catching up creates stress, and stress creates fallbacks. When you fall back, you become less valuable to your organization, and you become a less powerful and a less influential instrument for change. When you fail to plan, you'll find yourself scrambling to catch up and get on top of things. When you do plan and make strategic choices to deal with what's most important, you'll start to feel your inner authority over the demands of work increasing, and you'll be more fulfilled and happy as a result. 2, do not respond to emails at any time. Many people unknowingly allow their email inbox to dictate their professional actions day to day. Of course, communication with your colleagues and the management you report to is essential. However, it is not an excuse to let your inbox boss you around. Most individuals I work with struggle with being overly influenced by their inbox. To break this limiting habit, you need to establish a new culture around email for yourself and the people you work with most closely. Here's principle number one. Emailing does not necessitate an immediate response. In fact, in many cases, a more deliberate, thoughtful response might earn a better outcome. Principle number two, only respond to emails at specified times each day. I recommend an early afternoon and an end-of-the-day response times at the most, but experiment to find what works best for you. I strongly encourage you to not check email first thing in the morning. Instead, use the morning time to plan. Check in with yourself and what your strategic priorities are. Plan for the day and when you'll execute on key tasks. Responding to emails and deleting messages from your inbox may give you a dopamine hit that you're accomplishing tasks, kind of like eating sugar for breakfast. But the more you are doing this, the more you're eating away at your strategic effectiveness elsewhere. Number three, stop using your email inbox. Because the inbox has become a monster in most people's psyche, I encourage you to stop allowing your inbox to control and manage your attention. Do not always be available to email. Do not be checking your email first thing in the morning. Do not read your email on your smartphone in bed in the middle of the night. First, as we explored above, check your email at a maximum of 2 times per day. Keep these short and focused. Commitment to 20 or 30 minutes. Get in, respond to what's strategically critical, get out. Second, to help you focus on critical communications, set up folders that connect you with key contacts that are central to your strategic initiatives. Once you have done this, principally you are going to be focusing on these folders and not your inbox. These folders are where your attention will be for the most of the time you block out for email. After you've dealt with these communications in your folders, you may comb through your inbox. Remember, you're not responding to everything in your inbox, nor are you trying to keep your inbox cleaned out. You're only looking for strategically relevant communications that serve your long-term initiatives that matter most to you and your organization. Finally, give yourself an email folder. Meaningful and vocation sculpting reflections are often best explored in writing. One simple task is to email yourself key reflections. This archives your reflections to revisit them later, and it shifts checking email from a purely interpersonal exercise into an intrapersonal exercise. Leaders employing this strategy usually keep this as an ongoing practice. In summary, stop using your inbox and start using folders. Here's number 4. Do not multitask. The intention to stay on top of things leads most of us astray by encouraging us to multitask. It's not uncommon for people to lose 20 to 40% of their productivity because they are multitasking. Sometimes the figures are even higher, which means if you just focused and executed one task at a time, you could get as much done in close to half the time. Because a diversity of urgent and seemingly critical demands pulls attention in multiple directions, we often find ourselves multitasking without even choosing to multitask. Whenever you find yourself multitasking, you have likely handed over your psychological power to someone or something else. Along with that power was your ability for sustained focus, the wholehearted application of your intelligence into your work, and your ability to derive great pleasure from your job. When you notice the temptation to multitask during an activity, check in with your strategic priorities. Is what you're doing right now something you identify as high leverage when you did your weekly planning? If so, it deserves your full attention. If not, maybe you should reevaluate, switch gears, and focus on something that is. Stop wasting your life switching back and forth between tasks, pretending to be effective. Stop, focus, and execute. Number 5, do not skip appointments with yourself. Your relationship with yourself is far more important than any other relationship in your organization, not to mention the rest of your life. Make appointments with yourself and keep them. Do things that you know nourish you. That might be walking, exercising, reading, or daydreaming, or something else entirely. During your appointed time with yourself, peer inward to find out what is most essential to you. Discover and imagine new pathways forward through your challenges. Through rigorous and disciplined reflection, you can begin to author novel strategies for your own life and work. Stay proactively in command of your job and dynamically steer your conduct towards the mission and calling that is at the heart of your unique purpose.